Well, good morning again. Actually, good morning again. You know, I am so hungry. I didn't have anything to eat this morning, and I'm starving. And that bread just reminded me how hungry I am. Is anybody else hungry? Anybody else? A few people hungry? I think we should just have lunch right now. I mean, if I could, I'd have lunch right now. If I could, I wish I could just imagine some food and have it appear before me, and then I'd eat it all. What's your favorite lunch? If you could imagine anything and have it appear and eat lunch right now, what would you choose? What would you have? My son Isaiah, I know what his favorite food is. He loves macaroni. I made macaroni for the first time for him last week, and it changed his life. And now I go and I pick him up from his crib in the mornings. That's the first thing he says. He sees me, he says, "Papa, macaroni." I say, "We're not going to eat macaroni for breakfast, son. That's weird. It's weird." But I know what Isaiah would choose, and what would you choose? What's your favorite? I'm going to take a minute and just think of my favorite food. Oh, the Monte Cristo sandwich at Carl's. Oh, that's good. What is your favorite? If you could imagine anything, do you have any volunteers? What would you have for lunch if you could imagine anything?
Hot pie or mac and cheese.
Ooh, anybody else? Anybody else?
I would have a football lunch. Macaroni and cheese.
Oh, that's a popular one.
I would have Olive Garden's fettuccine alfredo with a side of extra, 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 extra pepperoni.
Peanut butter sandwich.
Oh, peanut butter.
Pizza.
Pizza. Yeah.
Corn dogs.
Corn dogs.
Velveeta mac and cheese.
Velveeta mac and cheese. Anybody else?
Bread and fish.
Bread and fish. Boy, he knows where I'm going with this sermon. Well, I'm hungry. Did anybody bring it? Do we have any food? Did you bring any of that Olive Garden food this morning? Boy, our kids, they're bright. They know what to do. Anybody else bring any food? How about we just share the food we have? Did you bring any macaroni and cheese? No, nobody brought any mac and cheese? Did anybody come prepared this morning? Did you know how long I preach? You're usually not in here. Kids, you gotta learn. You gotta come prepared. Does anybody have any food? You look like you have a Spider-Man backpack somewhere, a little lunchbox I saw. Would you be willing to share that with us? Well, thank you so much for being willing to share what you have. Good, because I'm really hungry. I'm so glad that what do you got in here? What do you got in here? You got 5 small club crackers and 3 goldfish. Well, thank you very much, Prince, but this isn't enough to feed all of these hungry people. Well, we'll just put there and we'll come back to it. You know, sometimes in life we feel like we don't have enough. We look at a difficult situation in our life or something really big, and then we look at what we have, and we just think, you know, this just isn't enough to get the job done. And sometimes it might be something very practical this morning, like, boy, you know, we're all hungry, and these few crackers and that's just not enough to change this difficult situation. But other times it might be a little bit more metaphorical, like we might look at our lives and we might say, you know, I don't know if I'm smart enough to pass that test. Or I don't know if I'm good enough to learn that instrument. I've always wanted to learn to play the guitar, but I don't know if I can do it. Or we might think something, I don't know if I have enough talent to make that team. And we look at the difficult situation in our life, and we look at what we've got, and we think, you know, maybe I don't have enough to make it happen. And when we do that, sometimes that might be discouraging enough that we don't do anything at all. We just don't do anything, because we don't think we have enough to accomplish it. But Jesus has got an important lesson for us this morning for those of us who think that we don't have enough. And then we're going to be reading from John chapter 6. I'll have the verses up for you on the screen. And it says, "After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick." And so think about it. Back in the day, there's no real doctors. There's no place to go. If you're sick, you've got like nowhere to turn. And Jesus came to earth, and he's healing these people, and word spread. It was amazing. Nobody ever seen anything like this before. And so people came out from the towns. They brought all their sick people to Jesus so he could heal them. So Jesus got tons of people following him. Look around right now. Jesus had like probably 30 times in this instance, probably at least 30 times, maybe more like 50 or 100 times the crowd that we have right here. That's a ton of people. So all these people are following Jesus, and they come out to see him, and it says Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And now the Passover was at hand, it says, the feast of the Jews. And lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus says to Philip, he says, Phil, where are we going to buy bread so that these people can eat? And Jesus said this to test Philip, for Jesus himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him. Philip says, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each person to get even a little. And so Philip picks a huge number of money, the biggest number of money he could think of back in the day. 200 denarii was a ton of money. He said, even if we had 200 denarii, even if we had a ton of money, we still couldn't buy enough food to feed all these people that even they'd all just get a little bit. So the disciples are like, all these people are hungry. What are we going to do? It says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many? And so the disciples are kind of at a loss. All they've got is 5 loaves and 2 fish. And like, how are we going to feed all these people? And you know, when I'm hungry, or when our family's out and about and we're hungry, you know, or we go to get some good food and good food fast, I like to go to Burger King and order their chicken, cheesy, tender bacon and cheddar crisp sandwich. Oh, it's amazing. You just go through the drive-thru and like in 3 minutes, you've got 1,500 amazing calories. It's fantastic. And what about you guys? Where does your family go when you're hungry? What are some of your favorite restaurants? Anybody want to raise their hand and tell me some of your favorite restaurants?
Little Caesars.
Oh, Little Caesars is great. How about you, Zoe?
Chinese food.
Chinese food. What's your favorite?
Olive Garden.
Olive Garden's good.
McDonald's.
McDonald's is good.
Chipotle.
Oh, who doesn't love Chipotle?
Noodles.
Panera.
Mac and cheese.
Panera.
Cheeseburger King.
Mac and cheese made another appearance. I love it. See, there you go.
Popcorn.
Popcorn. That's. I've never been to that restaurant before, but you know, back in the day, there was no Easy Mac. There was no Olive Garden. There's no Panera. This is 2,000 years ago, and the disciples are hungry. They got 5,000 people. They got nowhere to go. There were no restaurants like that back then. There was no even grocery stores. I don't even know how people got food back in the day. And the disciples, they apparently don't know either because they're like, what are we going to do? And it's interesting. Only one boy out of the whole crowd brought food. Isn't that interesting? Have you ever thought about that before? Out of this huge crowd, only one boy brought lunch. And they must not have moms like ours, right? I know whenever we leave the house, Sarah's got our snack bag, and in there she puts the animal crackers and the oranges and the bananas and the juice and stuff. Like, everywhere we go, we've got enough for a meal. But apparently nobody's mom set them with any lunch except for this one boy. And the disciple, Andrew, looks at him, and he's like, this just isn't enough to turn this difficult situation around. This is all we have. And they bring that fish to Jesus, and Jesus said, have the people sit down. And there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. So it's 5,000 men. We don't even know how big the total crowd was. And Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets. What? I thought he just had a few fish and loaves. Isn't that unbelievable? Jesus is standing there. They give him the fish and loaves. And who? I don't know how he did it, but he started like breaking it up and giving it to disciples to pass out. Could we have some disciples come up and begin distributing this delicious meal? And he gives it to the disciples, and everyone eats their fill. And after they get done, they've got enough. Even after everyone has eaten their fill from those 5 fish and loaves, they gather up 12 baskets of extra food. And Andrew looked at that, what they had. The disciples looked at what they had, and they said, this isn't enough. But the point is that Jesus is the Son of God. And everybody gets it. They say, when the people saw the signs he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. And the point is that when we bring what we have to Jesus Christ, when we bring our gifts to God, because God is who he is, he's so big, he's so powerful, when we bring what we have to the Lord, he can do amazing things with it. More than we had ever imagined, because he is that great. He is that big. He is that powerful. Our God is so big that when we give what we have, no matter how small, he can do great things. And this little boy came prepared with what he had, right? He was willing to give what he had. When the disciples said, "We want to feed 5,000. Does anybody have any food?" That little boy didn't look at his food and say, "I've only got 3 loaves and 2 fish. What good is this going to do anybody? I might as well just not even come forward." He didn't say that. He wasn't discouraged by what he had, even though it was seemed like so little. He brought what he had to the Lord, who then did amazing things. And amazing, imagine if that boy would have said that, if he would have said, "You know, I just don't think this is enough. I might as well just lay low and not say anything." Well, then that little boy would have never seen God do great things with his gift, would he? And imagine if that little boy had not brought his gift to God, but said, "Hey, I'm just going to turn around and start handing out my fish and loaves to people." Well, it wouldn't have gotten very far, would it? He had 5 loaves and 2 fish. He would have barely been able to feed anybody in that crowd if he would have started trying to give it out himself. But instead, the little boy brings his gift to Jesus. And in God's hands, we find that even when we have little, because God is so big, that he can do great things and turn it into much. And what gift do you think God is, what gift of yours do you think God is calling you to use? And God might be calling you guys someday to start a business and provide for the community and provide jobs for people so that they can provide for their families. And you might look at your future, you might look at the possibilities and say, "I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I've got enough. I don't know if I've got enough to make that happen." But the point is, when we give our gift to God, no matter how small, he can do great things. Or you may want to get a job that helps people, and to do so, you've got to go get an education. And you might look at yourself and say, "I don't know if I'm smart enough to do that. I don't know if I've got what it takes or the time that it takes to go get that education and do that and do that well." The point is, when we bring our gift to God, no matter how small, he can do great things. Or how about just for tomorrow? Right? God might be wanting to use your gifts to influence, positive influence, maybe the people on your team who are bad influences, or maybe your classmates who are maybe bad influences, or maybe it's you guys out there. Maybe God wants you to influence your coworkers who are bad influences. You think, "I don't know if I can, what I have is enough. I don't know if I can change this team or my class or my workplace. I don't know if I have enough." But the point is, if we bring what we have to God, he can do great things. And what would happen if we started reaching out to people, giving them gifts, reaching out to them one by one? Who knows what God might do with the people in our lives, or do with our team or our class or our workplace? And other people might look at their lives and say, I don't know why I get up in the morning. I've got no purpose. I've got no direction. We bring ourselves to God. We bring our lives to God. He fills us with his Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus was able to fill all those 5,000 people with bread and have enough for 12 baskets left over. That's how powerful God is. He's able to take our lives, and surely he's able to fill our lives and all those who come to him and ask for his Holy Spirit. And what gift of God, or what gift of yours, does God want to take and use? Let me introduce you to one of my favorite people. Wearing a funny sweater. But one of my favorite people, his name is Art Erickson. Art's a lot older now. He's even older than this picture. But when Art was young, 50 years ago, Art lived in an area where he looked around and he saw that all the people around him were impoverished, in poverty. And he noticed that the kids that were born into poverty grew up and tended to stay in poverty. They didn't get out of it. And it really bothered him. And so Art went to the city. And he wanted to positively influence these kids in poverty. He went to the city and asked for an empty lot to be turned into a soccer field. And they did! And so Art got to spend time playing soccer with all these kids and being a positive influence with these kids. And just one thing led to another as Art sought to positively influence this community and help people get out of poverty. One thing led to another, and a few years later, all of a sudden, he had basketball gyms and entire school buildings, new schools for kids who could come and learn, who didn't have that option to learn in a good environment before. And Art ended up starting a company called Urban Ventures, which every day helps hundreds and hundreds of people get the resources they need to learn how to get a job and provide for themselves and their family. It's amazing. And all that started because Art brought what he had to God, which was asking for a soccer field. And if we bring our gifts to God, who knows what he will do with them? And we should always be looking for what God wants to create through us and in our lives. We should always be looking to bring what we have to God, no matter how small. Because our God is so big that he can take our gift, no matter how small, and do great things with it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for being such a loving and generous and kind God. Father, we thank you for the provision that you give us every day, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would bless us as we seek to use our gifts and skills as you would have us, Lord. I pray that you'd speak to us and how we should come to you and what we should do with our gifts and skills, Father. We pray for opportunities and direction and guidance in that. And Lord, we pray you would do great things through that, just like you fed the 5,000 through that one boy's lunch. God, we pray that you provide for people, that you would uplift people, that you change our communities, our lives, our schools, our families, our workplaces. Lord, with your Holy Spirit, using our gift. And God, we come realizing we are dependent and reliant upon you, Lord. Because this world needs so many things, God, we cannot possibly provide them with the efforts and abilities that we have alone, God. We need you. And so we bring our gifts to you. And Father, we ask that you would bless them. And we ask that you would change our, like I said, our families, our world, our communities through them. And Father, we pray all these things in your name, Jesus. And Lord, we also pray you'd bless the gifts which we're about to receive as we take our offering. We thank you so much for providing for us, and we pray you'd bless this gift as we look to provide for others. We pray that this gift would go to spread the message of Jesus Christ and bring the gospel to our community, and that through that our communities would be changed to know you and be saved and know the Lord. So God, we pray all of this in your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. At this time, our ushers are going to come forward and are going to collect the offering. And if you are a guest here this morning, you should know that our regular members and attenders do a great job of providing for the ministry. So we ask you don't put any money in the basket when it passes if you're a guest here. But we would love you to fill out that connection card so that we know that you are here with us this morning. And please put an email address on there so that we can keep you updated about all the fun things that are happening at Cornerstone. And after the basket's passed, please stand and join us in worship.